All right, so I just kind of want to bring this into focus. Not that any of you are not focused already. Thank you so much for pivoting so quickly to budget services staff, to everybody that's filed some material together, and to all members of the committee for circling back promptly so we can remain timely with our recommendations to the council. Given the very short turnaround, we don't even have minutes from our prior meeting. I'm going to get us right to public comment. Before we go into the discussion, as you all have received, we have received two public comments, one from the Superior Court of the County of Riverside, the other of Del Norte. Those have been circulated to all committee members, as is consistent with practice from the council through every internal committee and advisory committee. These are not posted publicly, but they are posted and provided to every member of the committee. So let's get right, unless anybody has any initial comments about that, let's get right to our discussion item. Oksana is with us. And
yes,
Oksana,
do you mind as I take roll call before we get started on the Oksana's presentation?
That's probably a good idea. We did it informally, but you're right. Now that we're on the record, yep. Let's do that formally to make sure we're all here. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Judge Conklin.
Yes.
Ms. Fleming.
Yes.
Judge Barton.
Here.
Judge Buckley?
Here.
Judge Pope? Judge Fannin?
Here.
Judge Gabe?
Here.
Judge Heinrichs?
Here.
Judge Kelly?
Here.
Judge Marginis?
Here.
Judge Ryan?
Present.
Judge Thompson?
Here.
Ms. Bartleson? Do we hear Ms. Bartleson? I'm back. Ms. Carter?
Here.
Ms. Eberhardt?
Here.
Mr. Finke?
Here.
Mr. Landry?
Here.
Mr. Planet?
Here.
Mr. Rule?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi?
Here.
Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Ms. Turner?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Here.
And advisory members, Mr. Wardlaw?
Yes, here.
And Mr. Theodorovich?
Here.
Thank you. And I'm getting note that Ms. Bartleson is present.
Right. Thanks for that catch, Brandy. Now that we're all here officially on the record, I'm going to ask Oksana to once again just summarize what brings us back today for this final consideration regarding the distribution of the unfortunate cuts to the branch. Understandable, but unfortunate. Oksana, can you refocus us on the issue before us today, please?
Yes, thank you, Judge. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Oksana Tak, Senior Budget Analyst with Budget Services. During the TIGBAC meeting on June 11, 2020, the committee discussed the Funding Methodology Subcommittee recommendation, as well as various other reduction allocation methods. TIGBAC requested further options to allocate the reduction to trial courts and directed budget services staff to develop three scenarios for discussion and consideration at today's follow-up meeting. The three scenarios presented in Attachment A apply the reduction excluding base funding floor courts based on course workload formula establishing 4, 6, and 8% band around the statewide average funding level and include the following criteria. Courts within the band take a pro rata reduction but do not fall outside the band. Courts above the band take up an additional 1% cut from those within the band without falling into the band. Courts below the band take an approximate 1% cut below those within the band, scaled by their size and distance from the statewide average, not making more of a cut than those inside the band. And cluster one courts take the same reduction as courts within the band. It is important to emphasize that the recommended approach presented is in the spirit of the Judicial Council approved workload formula for years in which no new money is provided, taking into consideration progress towards equity of child court funding based on the workload. As a reminder, there is no council-approved allocation methodology in fiscal years for which a budget reduction must be implemented. The committee's recommendation today will be presented to the Judicial Council for approval during its scheduled business meeting in July. That concludes our presentation.
Roxana, thanks so much. So again, just not to carry the conversation, but only to focus it. As noted, this is a carryover from last week. It's the one remaining issue we had. What these materials have been distributed twice now. When I say the materials, I mean both the summary report and the attached tables. The reason the tables were redistributed was given the interplay between the very short turnaround on this, every attempt was made to get it out as quickly as possible. It was then pointed out that there was a minor discrepancy between the very precise language of the motion and the initial graphs. Staff, to their credit, went back and pulled, actually listened to the motion. And concerning the courts, the Cluster 1 courts, the original, and I know you're all aware of this, but I just want to make sure everybody's listening in is aware, the original tables with the Cluster 1 courts had them not only receiving the pro rata reduction, but also the 1% reduction that those courts above the line, which they are, were also asked to take. And then the motion was listened to, and it was made clear in the motion that no, while the committee agreed unanimously that the Cluster 1 courts should share in the reduction, to the same extent everybody else does, it would, the additional 1% was not part of that. So we felt it was very important to recognize that. So the final materials you have here with the Cluster 1s have them taking the pro rata cut that all those courts in the band took, but not the additional 1%. Now, I want to caution everybody, there will be technical changes to this. Even as early as a few hours ago, budget staff and I were discussing, and there is a very minor issue related to new judgeship allocation that might change these numbers insignificantly, at least from my opinion. And rather than have the matters redistributed, I just want to make clear that I think our main focus today should be on the policy that we adopt, rather than getting down into the granular level of the numbers, which could easily change to a very minor degree based upon just those technical glitches, but also reminding everybody we don't know what the final budget number is yet. So when the governor comes out, our policy, the numbers that you see here could change significantly based upon the policy. I think I've said enough. I'll open it up for discussion at this point. Remember, you're all on mute, so if you're going to discuss. So if
Judge Conklin?
Go ahead.
Judge Conklin, this is Judge Buckley. The discussion, and I believe the motion was specifically as to 6%, though everyone agreed that we should look at 4 and 8, with the idea that if something jumped out as either being unfair or not consistent with the policy, we had the ability to look at it. So I don't see much of any difference between the 4 and the 8 versus the 6, but I wouldn't encourage us to stay with the 6 unless someone else sees an unfairness or something that should warrant a move from 6%. But I would say we should stay with the default number of 6%.
All right, and I appreciate that. And actually, when we listened back to the transcript, it was clear the motion was exactly as Judge Buckley just stated. The presumption was for the 6%. But the committee asked that Budget Services provide a 4% perspective and an 8% perspective as well. But Judge Buckley is precise that the motion was the committee was presuming the 4% would be the appropriate allocation. 6%.
So Judge Conklin?
Yes.
This is Kim Turner. So I studied the three charts of the 4, 6, and 8% band you know, designations. And I think my view is a little bit different than Judge Buckley's. I think that we should go with the 4% band because that gives a little more relief to just a few more courts that are below the band. So as you can see, there isn't very much difference from one band to the other, but to the extent that we can provide a little relief to those courts that are at the bottom of the, you know, equity distribution, I think that we should try to do that, particularly since it has very little impact on the courts that are above the band to do that kind of a move. So I would propose that we go with a 4% band instead of a 6% band.
Judge Buckley? I'm sorry, Judge Conklin. I was looking at you, Judge Buckley, but I was...
We often get confused with each other. Go ahead, David.
Getting images.
He has better hair than I do.
So I just wanted to speak on the points that were being raised now, and I concur with the suggestion that Kim Turner had made about moving in the direction of 4%. And here's the reason: we have relied on our past practices to drive a lot of the decisions that we have made going forward. And the focus on 4% incorporates the rationale that we've been using to calculate those people 2% above the statewide average and 2% below the statewide average. And we have obviously made many adjustments because we weren't prepared to deal with reductions. I mean, we'd much rather have a flat funding year for sure. But I think as we start developing protocols on how to deal with new events, I think it's important for us to continue to hang on to some of those principles that we have been relying upon in the past, and the 4% number does precisely that. The adjustments may not be, you know, dramatically different for each court, but certainly from a you know, practical standpoint, it certainly simplifies the factors that we continue to bring into the discussion about how we should deal with different things. And it is very consistent with some of the considerations that we've made in the past. So I too support the use of the 4% calculation to apply the reductions.
Judge Conklin, this is Mike Planet.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, thank you. So I want to concur with Kim, what Kim and David said. I said my thinking has been through the last several meetings and even before that, that anything that moves us closer towards an equity is the route we should take, and that's why I would support the 4% band proposal.
All right.
This is Sean Landry.
Judge Conklin, can I weigh in again? This is Kim.
Sure, after Sean does, Kim, we'll come right back to you. Go ahead, Sean.
I also agree with Kim Turner on this issue. I think the principles that we laid out, this is more closely aligned with it. There's not a huge difference, but it does add a couple more courts in there, and I think that's a balanced approach and keeps with the principles that this committee has discussed in the past.
All right, Kim Turner?
You know, I actually have nothing further to add. Since everybody agrees with me, I'm very happy.
Well, that's apparently where the tide is turning, though I want to be real careful here. I haven't heard a motion. I'm not implying we should cease the discussion, but it's not a motion yet. So the discussion now.
I will make that motion, and we'll see if it has any legs. So I so move just, that we use the 4% calculation to arrive at our allocation methodology for the cuts.
And Judge,
I'm persuaded. I second.
Okay, so Kim Turner has made the motion. Judge Buckley has seconded that, in fact, the allocation methodology that we adopt to recommend to the council concerning the $168 million cut is 4%. And I know we all understand that, but I just want to make sure everybody listening in, that means the band is 2% above the precise average and 2% below the precise average. So any court that falls within that band takes the pro rata, any court above, with all the limitations that Oksana so appropriately detailed, and I'm not going to go back into again, but courts above then take the additional 1%, except for the cluster one courts. They'll only take the pro rata, and the courts below, depending on how far away they are from that precise line, take a reduced cut. And that's, again, just my general summary. But Brandy, do you understand the motion?
Yes, and I would just add the clarification that the courts below the band, they have the reduced amount, but it is scaled based on their size and distance from the average.
Correct. Okay, so it's been moved and seconded that, in fact, we adopt the 4% band scenario set forth in the materials, recognizing that as a committee, we're adopting a policy today. So this comment, again, is more directed to folks that might be looking at these numbers, appropriately so, to make decisions. That's what everybody's job is. But I remind everybody, please, these numbers could very easily change depending on the ultimate budget that is adopted. And if there are very technical changes that Budget Services points out. So let's not get tied precisely to the number, but to the policy.
Can I ask a question first?
So for Mike Planet first, and I don't know who else that was. Mike, go ahead.
Sure. This is probably directed more to Brandy and Oksana, but do we think that the adjustments that you're talking, that you open up the discussion with, would those adjustments, do they think, have any impact on what we're looking at now in terms of the number of courts that are in the band or outside of the band?
Sorry, I'm thinking, because what we did, Mike, I must use your first and last name. What we did, Mike, is when we ran some other numbers based on the item that Judge Conklin mentioned with the new judgeship money, there was one court that moved from the band, but that was looking at a 6% band. Overall, most courts' reduction did decrease by less than a tenth of a percent. So there is a very small change likely to come. But we just don't have the details ready based on a 4% band. The numbers will be included as we prepare for the Judicial Council meeting, and I believe those are made public within the, a matter of a week or so.
Okay, I just kind of want to make sure that that whatever additional adjustments need to be made don't throw us off our basic assumptions that we're voting on.
No, we don't see that happening, Mike. Okay. unless the $168 million number changes, what we're talking about today, we don't see anything dramatic changing.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
And I heard another request. I'm sorry, I don't know what that was.
Judge Conklin, that was me, Chad Finke.
Go ahead, Chad.
I just had a clarifying question, which is, I think I understand that our recommendation to the council is not necessarily going to be limited to this year's cut, but that this is a methodology that we are proposing would be added to the workload model if, you know, heaven forbid, we have future year cuts as well. Is that correct? Or are we saying just for fiscal year 21-22 and any budget, or excuse me, fiscal year 2021 and any budget cuts we may get, this is the methodology we're recommending?
Well, I'm just going to step in. I think maybe Judge Buckley or Rebecca can clarify this, because when it came from FMS, remember, the proposed budget already has a cut for the next fiscal year.
Right.
And when it came from FMS, as I remember, the decision was, no, we're not going to make a recommendation for that cut right now. But I don't want to step on FMS. Judge Buckley or Rebecca?
I agree with you, Judge Conklin. That was definitely the discussion and decision of FMS and the recommendation to TICBAC that we only address this year for this coming fiscal year.
Okay.
I would agree, and I would ask, do you think it would be appropriate to note that in the motion so that that's what goes forward to the council?
Yeah. So that clarification would be that this recommendation from TICBAC is to address the fiscal year 2021 budget only, having not TICBAC remaining, TICBAC preserving its ability to make further recommendations if there are any more cuts. I mean, if heaven forbid things get worse and it gets really, not that this isn't really bad, but if we're in a different universe in 21-22, I think we need to have the ability to make a different recommendation.
I would accept that friendly amendment, Judge Conklin.
And my second.
Thanks.
And I have one question. What if the budget cut turns out to be much higher than 168 once we get to August, September, and see what the actual tax returns and income to the state is? Is this basically foregone conclusion that we go ahead with this no matter what the scenario may be?
Well, I mean, I'll just add my 2 cents worth, and they're probably just that. I think we always have the ability to pivot back as an advisory committee and say to the council, this is something that's a significant change, or that we did not feel we had sufficient information to make a recommendation on 2 or 3 months ago. And we could provide advice to the council as an advisory committee only if that were to happen. So you're right, Judge Barton, if not that the bottom hasn't already fallen out, but if the bottom falls out again, even in this fiscal year, I don't think anything prevents TCBAC from giving further advice to the council, but they're the council. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
This is Judge Conklin. Sean Landry.
Hold on. Who was the first one that said Judge Conklin? I can't tell on.
Yeah, I Judge Thompson.
Go ahead, Scott.
Question following up on Judge Barton. In the reverse scenario, let's say the governor in his proposal is more take it now, the legislature kind of streaming it out in their proposal. Governor is take it now and then was willing to look at, I think, the way I read it, distributing money if the feds give money back, thereby in the future reducing the amount of cuts. So if that's the case, I don't think we've dealt with clarifying, and maybe it's not before us right now, clarifying that that's not new money, in other words.
Right. I think what this discussion is exemplifying is we need to make the best decision we can today with the information we have today, but at the same time, Judge Thompson, I didn't mean to cut you off, again, recognizing Judge Thompson's right. If all of a sudden 2 months from now it's much better, either the council is going to turn back to us and ask us for an amended advisory, or I think we on our own initiative can provide to the council further advice as to now what that new information gives us. But I think the back and forth this discussion kind of makes the point that the best we can do today is make a decision based upon what we have today. Did I hear Thank another? You.
Judge, this is Sean Landry.
Go ahead, Sean.
I guess I have a little bit of a different view on that. I think it's, of course, important to be nimble. But at the same time, if we're standing on a principle and an equity principle, doesn't it also make sense to have a clear path forward in reduction years, like we have a clear path forward when we do get new money? And I'm just throwing that out there. I guess I have a little bit of a different view on it, because I think it's helpful to know from a budget planning perspective where we're going to be and how we have to reduce.
I don't disagree with that. I guess, one, my concern was twofold. The precise recommendation from FMS was we do have another fiscal year, and FMS advised TCBAC not to act on that second fiscal year. And secondarily, I don't think any of us in our professional lifetimes have ever seen anything like this, and 2 or 3 months from now it may be absolutely different than we are now. So Sean, while I don't disagree with your the general principle that we should be able to provide advice and some type of perspective for people to plan, I think we're in a whole different world. Sorry, I didn't mean to stifle any further conversation. Go ahead, Nancy.
Thank you. Just taking up what Sean was saying, although FMS did recommend that we not look at the next year, I do think it would be prudent to maybe send some advice back to FMS that we take a look at a methodology for times when there are cuts, just so that we're not coming at this again and trying to take care of it on a year-by-year basis.
Sure. So as I understand what Nancy's saying, rather than looking up to advise the council, we could turn back to funding methodology subcommittee and say, get ready for next year. And could you please get to work on either the precise cut or anticipated cuts? And a, if you want to adopt TICBAC's methodology, great. But if you have further advice to TICBAC, great as well. Does that summarize what you just said, Nancy?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So we have a motion and a second. I don't want to prevent any further discussion. Is there any further discussion on the motion and second concerning the 4% band? All right, I just want to be real careful because we're on BlueJeans and I see some microphones on mute. So I want to make sure that nobody's desperately touching their unmute button and I haven't had a chance to address them. So I'm going to ask once again, is there anybody else on our committee who wants to make additional comment before a vote is called? Okay, I think I've waited. And so I want to be real careful here because it's typically my habit to simply ask as to whether or not anybody's opposed, but I want to prevent any perception that I'm trying to dictate the ultimate outcome. So I'm going to ask Brandy to take a roll call vote. And the question, therefore, is yay, yes, I agree with the motion and vote to adopt it, or nay, I oppose. Brandy?
Judge Conklin?
Yes.
Ms. Fleming?
Yes.
Judge Barton?
Yes.
Judge Buckley?
Yes.
Judge Fannin?
Yes.
Judge Gabe?
Yes.
You, Judge Heinrichs?
Yes.
Judge Kelly?
Yes.
Judge Marginis?
Yes.
Judge Ryan? Judge Ryan? We can come back to her. Judge Thompson?
Yes.
Ms. Bartleson?
Yes.
Ms. Carter?
Yes.
Ms. Eberhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Finke?
Yes.
Mr. Landry?
Yes.
Mr. Planet?
Yes.
Mr. Rule?
Yes.
Mr. Taniguchi?
Yes.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Ms. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Yes.
And we'll try once again for Judge Ryan.
Yeah, somehow I knocked myself off of here. I vote yes.
Thank you very much. That's a unanimous yes, Judge Conklin.
All right, so the motion carries unanimously. So again, just procedurally, I'll remind everybody on the committee that now with this reports both on this recommendation and all the other motions we considered just a week ago will be prepared, formalized, and then submitted to the council. It goes through E&P and then to the council. The council right now, as I understand it, is a telephonic or a Zoom meeting on the 23rd and 24th of July. I want to thank everybody so very much, obviously Budget Services and everybody on this committee for moving so quickly, though I don't think the effort to be expeditious on this should present a perspective that they were not anything but very, very careful as well. As the chair of TICBAC, it'll be a all present to the council, but that's up to E&P and the chief as to what they want presented. So the chief obviously has the ultimate discretion to make these either action items before the council, or they can be submitted on a consent agenda as well. And that's up to people well above our pay grade to decide. But with that, unless there's any other, and Brandy, anything else we need to address today?
No, Judge. If anything, we can just mention our next meeting is on July 16th, and it will be a BlueJeans meeting as well.
In both senses of the word, it'll be presented by BlueJeans, and if people are more comfortable in BlueJeans, feel free. But anyways, folks, thank you all so much for your time. Brandy or Zlatko, could you just, so everybody has the same dates, could you just remind us precisely of what the budget dates are that are pending?
Certainly. The governor has until Saturday the 27th to act on the piece of legislation that was passed on Monday and sent to him. It was clear that legislative leaders that they expect there to be continuing negotiations, but with respect to that bill, he has to act no later than June 27th, which is Saturday, about 9 days from now. And but we expect there's, based on discussions, there's some movement in terms of a budget deal, but we will monitor it. And obviously, if there needs to be a revisit, we will do that and bring that back to the committee to consider.
And then, as I understand it, not to put John Wardlaw on the spot, but the practice is after the governor then issues that, is there usually a statewide meeting with court officials, John or Zlatko, summarizing what the most final budget gives us?
We have
yes, Judge, this is John Wardlaw. Typically, what we'll do is after the Budget Act is signed off and complete, we will do an announcement for the branch family on what that entails.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order, folks? Anybody have any other?
We would also typically have a memo that tries to outline as much as we know of the budget at that time as well, so that would be a resource for folks to refer to as we're walking through the budget on those calls, and for you to be able to share with other staff if they're not able to be on there.
Great. And back to the committee members individually, Rebecca Fleming and I are at your beck and call. So if you have concerns that you want to just discuss with us, obviously let us know. All right. Thank you all so much, folks, again, for putting in more time at the end of the day. We'll look forward to talking to everybody for our next tick back meeting and catching up. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So the meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.